Turn with me, please, to three scriptures in the New Testament. First, well-known one in John 3, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but the world may be saved by him. And later on, verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men have loved darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. And finally, in Acts chapter 20, Paul speaking in verse 20. How I held back nothing of what is profitable, so as not to announce it to you, to teach you publicly and in every house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We were considering today the love of the Lord Jesus. I'd like to speak this evening to you about the love of God. I've read these scriptures, probably all well known to you, but I would like you to have an impression in your soul of God's love to you. Why should God love you? Why should he love me? What is there by nature about me that is anything that God can love? There isn't. God's love to me is sovereign. It's wonderful. But God loves you. Now, he's proved that love by sending his beloved Son, by giving his Son. God loves and has proved his love by doing what he's done. And we read further on in John 3 that men loved darkness rather than the light. God loved the world and gave his Son as evidence of his love towards mankind. But men loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. Now that tells me a lot about my heart. If I didn't realize it, and if you didn't realize it, I'd like you to realize tonight that you have a sinful nature. You and I, by birth as children of Adam's race, we are sinful. We are disobedient. We love darkness rather than light. Our own wills are dark. Our own wills as away from God is darkness. Our will is dark. Our ways are dark. We love it. And you can see it in the world around. You don't have to look very far to see the corruption that is in the world, whether it's in the sphere of entertainment, the sphere of sport, religion even, or politics. It's full of corruption. Because men love darkness rather than light. It is not natural to me to love light. But God has shone out in love. Shone in light into my soul, but it's in love. God so loved the world. Think of that. God loving a world that's lost in sin. You know, Adam disobeyed God and the whole world was plunged into sin. And one of his sons became a murderer. That's how fast it all went wrong. And mankind is still the same today. We are born sinners. Every one of us in this room are lost until we're saved. There's only two classes of people on earth at this present moment: the lost and the saved. I would like to ask you, where are you? Are you among the lost? Is there no hope for you? Or are you among the saved? Have you hope and faith in Jesus? Because there is hope for the lost. That's why we're speaking tonight. God so loved the world that he gave. What was it that he gave? He gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son into this world. What we spoke about this afternoon as the incarnation, the coming into flesh of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, coming here in this way. A unique way. Never before had God been seen on earth, but God was seen in Christ, a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Not born in the palace of a great king he was, born in a stable, laid in a manger, come in deep poverty materially. But such was the grace of God that the Lord Jesus came this way. And he came, and he, you can read in the four Gospels, four accounts of the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus. All of the, not all of the things that he did or said are recorded in Scripture, but those that are recorded for you and me, so that we should know for assuredly that Jesus was the Son of God. The centurion at the cross, when the Lord Jesus died, said, "Surely this man was Son of God." How wonderful it was that God should come out in this way, come, should draw near to his creature in grace. God manifest in flesh, wonder of his universe, we sometimes sing. God has come out in this wonderful way to draw near to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin has not been overlooked. God has dealt with the great sin question. He dealt with it at Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus, his own beloved Son, offered himself without spot to God, the just one for the unjust. Him who knew not sin, the Apostle Peter says, was made sin. Think of that. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing and suffering before God on account of my sins and yours. I would like to point out to you that sin, the root cause of the problem of the human race, is never forgiven. You will find nothing in the Bible to say that sin is forgiven. It's sins that are forgiven. God has condemned sin, and the Lord Jesus has borne the penalty or judgment of God against sin, so that through the shedding of his blood, his precious blood, you and I may be cleansed from our sins. And that is God's message of hope to you and to me. God's message of hope for a ruined world. A world that is heedless of God. We sometimes sing, "The world to doom is passing. You're passing too." Well, the world is passing to its doom. But there is a day, God has reserved a day, when he's going to judge the world. So God is going to call everyone to account. You and me. But through his grace, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've come to him as your Saviour, if you've realised your need of a Saviour, then you will not be judged and condemned. Great white throne is reserved for those who die in their sins. Because you know, if you die in your sins, you'll be raised in your sins. You'll be brought before God and find in him a judge. If you die in Christ, you're raised in Christ. Wonderful thing, where persons are in one condition or the other. There's not three ways. There's not the saved, the lost, and those who've never heard the gospel. That is a mere fallacy of man. Whether you've heard the gospel or not, you're still a sinner. And as a sinner, you deserve judgment. So do I. But in the grace and mercy of God, I've heard the gospel and I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And that's why we preach. That's why we're here tonight, to tell you about God's remedy for sin, about God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and died on Calvary's tree. That is the evidence of God's love to this world, that he gave his son. What love? No one has greater love than this. God's love is the greatest love, the greatest power in the universe. And God commends his love to us. That's another wonderful thing. Not only has God so loved the world that he gave, but moreover, the Apostle Paul says, God commends his love to us. We had that this afternoon, and I felt impressed to follow on this theme of love. God commends his love to us. Think of that. The mighty, powerful, creator God. God of the universe. God by whose word worlds were called into being. Commending his love. God himself commending his love. It's not me or the Apostle Paul commending the love of God. It's God himself commending his love to you. What greater commendation could there be than God himself commending his love to you? And it's because we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. The evidence of God's love is that Christ has died for us. He's died for me. Can you say the same? Can you say, do you know that Christ died for you, for your sins? He gave himself. We spoke about Paul this afternoon, who spoke of the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. I trust that everyone in this room can say that. Wonderful thing to know God in such a way, to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. What greater hope, what greater love can you know? Human love is very precious, very real, but divine love is far greater. And it's for time and eternity. Human love is for time only, in that sense. God's love is for time and for eternity. What we have to do within the gospel, having to do with God, we have to do with the issues of time. But it has an eternal consequence. Wonderful that God should have planned a universe of bliss. A universe where his love will be supreme, where his son will be the centre, where everything will be according to his mind. When you look around this world, it's very much the other way. Things appear in some areas out of control. Things appear confused. Things appear evil. We can see, can't you? You don't have to look far before you see the evil and corruption in the world. But God has a world, has a universe where that can never enter, where sin cannot come. Sin has come into this world and it's spoiled the relationship of man with his creator. But God has a world. And he's going to bring believers into it where sin can never come, where all is of himself, where all is according to his mind, and where his son is the source and center. And the beloved Lord Jesus, the one who suffered and died and shed his blood on Calvary's tree, will be the center of that world of bliss. Now, I would like you to have a part in that along with me. But I cannot make you believe. I can point you to the Saviour, but I can tell you how you can come into blessing. You know, if you're feeling and realising you're lost, if you're realising tonight, maybe for the first time, that you're a sinner and in need of a Saviour, I'll tell you how to get there. And it's by repentance. God is requiring repentance. The Apostle Paul preached a very faithful gospel. He didn't hold back anything of what was profitable, and he testified to Jews and Greeks. He made no difference. It's repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you repented? Do you know what it is to feel really bad, to feel sorry, to feel great grief about your sins? And have you told God that? Because that's what repentance is, to turn from yourself to God. Luke 15 tells us about a son who ran away and did his own thing. He thought he knew better, and he thought he could enjoy himself away from his father. And everything went fine till the money ran out. And then he came to himself. I do trust that if there are those here tonight who do not know the Saviour, who do not know what it is to have assurance of forgiveness of their sins, that they're beginning to come to themselves. Because the next step is repentance. The younger son in Luke 15, he said, I'll go to my father and tell him, I'm not worthy to be called your son, make me as one of your hired servants. Now that's not in God's thought that we should come to God and be in bondage. God would have us back as sons. The younger son remained a son, but he repented of his sins, came back to his father, and came into the joy of sonship. And that's just what God wants you to do. He wants you to repent, to turn to him, to tell him about your sins. He knows already, but he wants to hear you tell him how sorry you are, how dreadful you've been, and how you need to have your sins forgiven. And he will, if he can forgive me my sins. And if he can forgive the sins of many in this room, he can surely forgive you your sins. But you need to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Because he's the only one that can do this. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself said, do you not know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? He could not say that were he not God. But he said it, and he meant it, and he went to Calvary's cross, and his precious blood was shed, so that you and I might be redeemed, might be brought back to God, might be cleansed of our sins and brought back to God. Now, that's God's way of salvation. That's not my way. That's not what any man or woman would ever devise as to how to get back to God. God alone has set out his terms in the gospel, and it's for you and I to answer to them. Because persons have invented religions. There's plenty of invented religions around today. And they all centre around what man can do or not do, and how man can improve himself or not for the next world, or for whatever he believes, if he's coming back again or whatever. It's all man's ideas. The gospel that we preach is God's message, God's thoughts, God's plan, God's idea. I'd like you to understand it very clearly, that I'm not standing here putting out a religious thought or a religious theory or a religious idea. I'm here to tell you how God loves you, how God wants you to be for him, to come to him, and how God is looking for your repentance. Because that's how we've all come. We've all come into blessing. Every Christian that knows their sins forgiven has come the same way. Only one way of salvation, and that's to put your faith and trust in Jesus and to repent of your sins. Very simple. But, you know, it knocks the bottom out of your pride. Man likes to feel there's something he can do. And I'm sure many of us have spoken to people that have said, yes, but I'd like to feel there's something I can do. I had that experience. I've spoken to people about their souls, and they said, yes, but I would like to feel I can do something, I can contribute. The truth is, you can't. There's nothing you can do. The hymn writer put it very clearly, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thyself I cling. There's nothing, nothing you can do to achieve your salvation. People at the beginning of a year, sometimes, when they used to, perhaps they don't now, would say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I won't do this or whatever. Doesn't usually work. And neither does any attempt to make yourself better work either. You can try it if you like, but it won't get you anywhere. Martin Luther, great reformer, God used him mightily, spent some years trying to make himself better. Until one day, the light of God dawned in his soul, the just shall live by his faith. And he realized that if he was going to be suitable for the presence of God, it had to be in the virtue and value of somebody else, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light flooded into his soul. And that great truth, justification by faith, really changed the course of Christianity in the world, because it had got buried under man's religion. But God used that. And use that man to enlighten the souls of many, many people. And today we can preach justification by faith. Not by works. We're not justified by works. Good works are the evidence of faith, not the means to it. Very important to see that. Because there are those who do preach that. But we preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. Means that he has gone into death. He has shed his blood for me, for my soul. Well, that's the gospel. That's the gospel message. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. And it doesn't take a lot of understanding. But it means it does challenge your soul as to whether how you stand before God. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Because lost eternity will be a terrible thing. Be a terrible thing. Scripture says, without God and without hope in the world, how much more terrible to be eternally without God and eternally without hope. A lost eternity is a terrible, terrible thing. And I would not want anyone in this room to go into lost eternity. And there's no need to, because Jesus is the answer to your needs, to your life, to the problems and sins of your life. Jesus is able to forgive them. You need to repent and turn to God in faith. May everyone do this for his name's sake.